Chapter 17. Such an honor to be here with you all today. I normally don't get very emotional. I never do. You can ask my teens. They've only seen me cry a couple times. I was tearing up during that last song. So we've spent 6 years. A lot of teens have gotten away. Look up here. I don't know your life. Your youth pastor loves you. Your pastor loves you. There's people at your church that have invested in you. There's teens that have never seen the tears that I've cried for them. How much I care about them. You know, we don't do this because this is a schedule on our calendar to just cross off and move on with our to-do list. We do this because we love you guys. We really do. Brother Donald, he loves you. Your youth pastor, he loves you. And we want to help you. We want to see you live for God. I was thinking about, the song was only just a few, I was thinking about Matt. Brother Donald, I was thinking about Matt. Come on. Brother Donald actually met Matt out on the streets of Holyoke. A bus kid, no father in his life, mom never went to church, invited him to come to church. He was the brat that always sat in the back and gave us a hard time. God got hold of his heart. He got saved a few months later, baptized, called to preach, and he's finishing up his second semester at Bible college. And teens, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Now, you may not be sitting there saying, well, I don't think God's calling me to preach. I don't think God wants me to go in the ministry. As long as you're willing to do that and you don't think he's called you there, that's okay. But you need to be willing to do whatever he wants you to do. You know, your youth pastor's desire for you, or my desire for you, is not all to be in the ministry. Although we could use more people. We could use more pastors' wives. And I hope that some of you make that decision today. But our desire is that you leave youth group and stay in church. And you leave youth group and you stay faithful to God. You don't just wipe off the map and no one ever knows what happened to you. I have pictures in my office that I look at every day of teens that got away. I don't know what happened to him. I don't want that to be you. We're here because we love you, because we care about you. And I'm so thankful for each of you. Your spirit's been great today. You guys have been great. Such a good group. You've listened so well. I'll only be just a few minutes. I have something I'd like to share with you, and we'll be dismissed. Thank you, college, for singing. You guys were awesome. Let's give them a hand. Grace Baptist College. Thank you, guys. Brother Petronico. Brother Rich, thank you so much for this opportunity. Brother Donald. Thank you so much. I think he's in the back. We're so thankful for Brother Donald and all that he's done and all his hard work. I'd like to share with you something just briefly in 1 Samuel chapter 17. The Bible says in verse number 1, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shokah, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Shokah and Azahah and Ephesia." And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, about 9 feet 9 inches. He had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of his coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And you know this story. Verse number 8. He stood and cried unto them, armies of Israel, and said unto them, "Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then ye shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." Lord, we only have a few more minutes. And Father, I pray that you'll move in this next service. Lord, that you'll just do what you need to do. Get a hold of hearts. Please get me out of your way. Father, we need you. Thank you so much for these teens. Lord, we care about them so much. Please work in Jesus' name, amen. You all know the story of David and Goliath, one of the greatest stories in the Bible. You probably heard this growing up, and I just want to tell you one thing about it, and then we'll be done. So please pay attention, just a couple minutes. Goliath, we see here the story. They're pitched on either side of this valley. And Goliath is standing up defying the God of the Israelites. You know, that's our God that he was defying. The God that we serve, the God we pray to, the same God that he was defying. And I'd like to preach to you for just a couple minutes about conquering your giant. You know, I'm a youth pastor, and I was a teenager only a couple years ago. I know what it's like. Now, I was just talking to Brother Petronico. There's things that you are facing that I did not have to face. There's things that you deal with every single day that we did not have to, just a generation away from you. But teenagers, look up here. You are facing giants. Every single one of you have at least one giant. Some of you may have so many giants, you can't even count them. And the giants do exactly what Goliath did. He stood on that other mountain and he defied the God of Israel. And that's what your giant is doing. I don't know what your giant might be. It could be any number of things. It could be alcohol. It could be lust. It could be drugs. It could be a bad attitude. Yep. It could be a problem with authority. Could be unforgiveness, bitterness. I don't know what your giant is. Maybe it's every single one of those. Maybe you have any. Maybe you might even have more than that. But that giant is defying God. That giant's controlling you. And you want to live for God. You want to do right. You want to have victory. But it seems like the only thing that you see every day is that giant just telling you how he's in charge. And I'd like to just share to you from God's word how you can know you can get victory. Teens, you can win. I said you can win. There is no reason why that giant should be. You guys, I mean, I'll just cut to the chase. You all know the story. David's the one that volunteered. David, a teenager like you, stood up and killed this giant. Yeah. Is it because he was the most able? Was he the strongest? No way, man. Now he had some history of fighting things, but David had God's help, and with God's help, you can have victory. I'd like to just share you just a couple things. A giant is anything that stands between you and God's plan for you. We see how there was a valley between and that giant was on the other side. And your giant is standing between you and what God has for your life. David had faced many giants in his life. We hear about the lion and bear that he had killed, Goliath, and then later you can read in the Bible about Ishbibinab. David had many giants. And the idea, I think, is to give us that you have giants that you face. Things that you battle right now. Maybe nobody knows. As I look into your eyes, I can tell some of you are fighting. Right now. And many of you are losing. And that giant is standing between you and God's plan for you. And what you need to do first is just identify that giant. What is the thing that you're facing? You know how often I've talked to people and they don't realize what they're struggling with. Or they've never come to terms with it. Come to terms with what is your giant. There are probably certain things that you don't struggle with. There are probably certain things you've never even been tempted to do. But you know what your giants are, and that giant stands between you and what God wants for you. Second, that giant seems bigger than you. It seems a lot bigger. Look how big he was. He was almost 10 feet tall. And you're looking at this giant saying, this thing is massive. I have no idea how I'm going to conquer this. What problem in your life seems too great? It seems too big for God. You know, we look at these giants and we see how big they are. How big is God? How big? When was the last time you looked in the sky and just tried counting the stars? And that's the one you prayed to. That's the one that saved you. That's the one that you live for and that you worship. And he's not big enough to help you get victory over that giant? Come on now. It seems bigger than it really is. In Numbers chapter 13, you don't have to turn there, but when the Israelites were supposed to go to the promised land, the 10 spies that came back without faith to believe that God would give them victory, they said that we were like grasshoppers compared to them. Brother Rich, don't you think that's a little bit of an exaggeration? I mean, I know that giant was big, but as grasshoppers, you know, we make them seem bigger than they really are. We have to realize that. And then the next thing about giants is it's stronger than us and it cannot be faced alone. Your addiction, your bad habit, you cannot get victory. Look up here, you can't get victory on your own. Do you realize that, teens? You can't. And many of you, that's why you're struggling, because you're trying to fight it on your own. You cannot. Without God's help, David loses every time. Yeah. And without your help, you will lose. Giants have some problems in our lives. They steal the peace of God. They steal your joy. You know, they also stop your progress. They keep you from moving on to do what the great things that God has planned for your life. And they also seize your possessions. Take the things that seem important to you. But I'd like to give you, I heard this before, and I'd like to share it with you, acrostic for the word faith. And this is what David had that gave him victory to be able to kill the giant. It started with faith, just believing. I believe that it all goes back to faith. The Bible says that faith without works is
dead.
So the question really today is, do you believe? And what do you believe? And do you believe it enough? You obviously believe that pew would hold you, so you sat on it. But do you believe that God can give you victory? Do you believe that God wants to bless you? Do you believe that you're supposed to be reading? Here we go. Now, don't raise your hand, but do you believe you're supposed to be reading your Bible? Well, most of you, hopefully all, would raise your hands. Okay, how many did it this morning? Faith without works is dead. If you believe it, you'll do it. Amen? Do you believe you're supposed to tell people about Christ? Yep, I believe I'm supposed to tell. When's the last time you did it? It's your heart. It's your faith. Do you believe it? Let me give you a quick acrostic for the word faith, and we'll be done. Number one, David had fortitude. Fortitude is mental and emotional strength in facing difficulty, adversity, danger, or temptation, and doing it courageously. Fortitude. You know, that's something that we need. We need to be able to look at our giants and look at that. It might be really tough. It might be, you might have your back up against the wall. And you need to look at it and say, I am going to fight you. Stand up to it. That's many of your problems. You can't stand up to your giant. You let it destroy you and you let it work its way around your life. And you're not willing to have the courage to fight against it. I can't imagine what it must have been like with David in the camp of Israel, looking over and seeing how massive this beast was. And David's the one that said, you know what? I'm not the greatest, but I'll go and I'll get him.
Yeah.
And that's what you need to do with a giant in your life. You have to have fortitude. Stand up to it. He didn't use Saul's armor because our weapons are not carnal.
Yeah.
He used God to help him. He had fortitude. Second of all, he had aggression. Aggression, an offensive action, an attack. He was aggressive in defense of his cause. Look at verse 29. We're in 1 Samuel 17. Look at verse 29. His brothers were arguing with him. Verse 28, Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto him, unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. You know, typical older brother syndrome. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Don't you see why we're fighting? Don't you see what this giant is doing? Don't you see how it's ruining our lives? It is controlling us. And teens, is there not a cause? Don't you realize what that giant is doing to you? Don't you realize what that addiction is doing to your life? Don't you realize whatever it's going to bring you someday, where you'll end up compared to where you really should be? Is there not a cause? And you need to see that, just like David did. But there was a reason to fight and have aggression. That enemy was insulting him and everything he believed. It's mocking you. Do you realize that? That sin you're struggling with is making fun of God.
Yeah.
And we need to have some aggression. Don't be passive. And have some aggression and fight against it. He had fortitude, he had aggression, he had initiative. The introductory act or step, leading action. So the battle was at a standoff, and he had to step up and say, I'll fight. And maybe you realize you have some aggression in you, you have fortitude, but you just need to take initiative. In a minute, we'll have an altar call. You need to take initiative. And you need to make that first step. And listen, Brother Donald said, and we all know, this isn't a magical place. We don't put, you know, special healing hands on you or something that just perfectly performs, you know, your life, transforms your life. It's in your heart. You can make the decision anywhere. But you know what? If you make the decision in your heart, you'll be more willing to act. You'll be more willing. If your heart's tender, you'll be more willing to get up out of your seat. But it takes initiative. It takes initiative. Some of you, it's a big deal right now to get rid of that giant in your life.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get embarrassed. You're going to have to tell somebody, your pastor, your parent, your teacher, whoever it is, that you've been cheating, or you've been looking at that on the internet, or you've been listening to that music, or you've been speaking like that, whatever it is. But we need to take initiative. Teens, we need to take initiative. David said, I see him, and I see that there's a cause, but I'm going to step out and fight him. Would you do that today? Take initiative? If you're sick enough of being defeated, let's just decide to win. He had fortitude, he had aggression, he had initiative. But you know what David had? Turn over to verse 34. Verse 33. Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war. from his youth. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. You know what else David had? He had fortitude, he had aggression, he had initiative. He had a testimony. He had a testimony of all... Look up here! I'm losing some of you. He had a testimony of all that God had done for him. You know, he had never defeated, he had never fought against a 9-foot-tall, 9-inch giant. But he killed a bear. It's pretty good. Has anyone done that in here? Killed a lion. He's had victories before. And I don't know what you're struggling, teens. I don't know what you're battling. But look back at your other victories. Look back at where God has helped you. That decision you made at camp last year. That last youth rally when you got that thing right with God and you turned from it. You have victories. And you can use that and use that as help and use that as a strength to be able to move forward for God because you've had victories before. Think of your testimony. Think of something that you used to battle, some sin that used to have its fingers gripped on you. And you got victory. Amen. Praise God. You have a testimony. Hey, you have a testimony. Praise God for that. And then lastly, he had fortitude, he had aggression, he had initiative, he had testimony. David had help. A friend, you can't do it on your own. I said that before and I want you to get that. Please look up here. We're done. He had help. God helped him. God gave him the victory. Do you realize this? And I don't think we realize it. We hear it, but we don't realize it, Brother Rich, that God wants to help us get victory. He told the Israelites that this is his battle. God wants to fight it for you. He wants to help you. He wants to give you the abilities. But not a lot of us, we don't let him. Imagine what would have happened if someone else walked up and tried fighting Goliath. How ugly it would have been. But God helped David. And teens, God wants to help you. He wants to help you get victory. Close your Bibles. You can look up here. And I'm done. Brother Don, you can come up. Guys, I've been doing this for a few years. Many of you youth pastors have been doing this longer than me. But I've seen teens get away. And it's because of giants in their life. I know you face giants. And these giants are mocking you. Mocking your God. Mocking everything you believe. And many of you will leave today without doing anything about it. But you can use some of these things. Fortitude, aggression, initiative, testimony, and help. And you can get victory. Do you realize that God can give victory? This isn't just a slogan because it sounds cool. You can win. You can win. Every head bowed, every eye closed.